Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Everyone, and welcome into the Monday Morning Quarterback Podcast. It is June 6th. It is the 80th anniversary of D-Day. I am Matt Verderam alongside Gilberto Manzano, as always, and we are coming to you in the middle of the offseason. But this week we did see Justin Jefferson get paid by the Minnesota Vikings. 4 years, $140 million. That's $35 million per year. That is a record for receivers. And he got $110 million, which is a big-time record for receivers. $110 million guaranteed. Nobody else had even cleared 95 prior. So he is far and away the highest-paid receiver when you factor in real money and not funny money. So with that all said, Gil, first of all, what do you think of the Jefferson deal? Second of all, you moved. How's that treating you?
Yeah, I was maybe I got to a point where I was hoping I could have been a wide receiver in a different life and have $110 million guaranteed to maybe pay for some movers and a U-Haul and a truck. And it was brutal, man. So, you know, me and my partner, Caroline, we have, you know, Honda Accords. We don't have SUVs or trucks. And, you know, after the first trip of moving, we're like, you know what? We need people with trucks. So, unfortunately, we had to bother, you know, some, you know, brothers and sisters and family members with trucks. And, you know, if you get a truck, that's a downside. People like me are going to ask you for help. But I'll be a grown up next time, Matt, and hire some movers and a U-Haul truck, or maybe get a truck in a couple years to do it myself.
Yeah, man, it's a chore. I've moved as an adult three times, and the third time we moved from our condo to our first home, the home we live in now, and I would have paid any amount of money. I moved in with my girlfriend, now wife, in Chicago, and that was the embodiment of hell on earth. I determined that I'm like, I will never move myself again. This is a disaster. And I never have moved myself again. I'll tell you right now, when we move out of this house and we retire, I will basically burn the house down and just start over, because I don't want to bring anything other than stuff that is extremely important. Like any of the furniture, people can have it. It's fine. It's not moving it. There's no way in hell. So I feel you on that pain.
Yeah, I got to a point where I remember you told me the story of last week where, like, you just left a couple things there behind. They'll get it. They'll deal with it. I'm like, I want to pull what Matt did. But obviously people were like, no, we'll help you. We got it here. I'm like, okay, whatever. But it really tested my patience, man. I did not expect it to take like 3 or 4 days.
We left behind our entire bedroom set. Just left it there. Hated it. Didn't want it anyway. And I remember the guy who bought the place, like, got in touch with us. He's like, you got to give me $500 to dispose of it. And I was like, here's $1,000. Have a nice day.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. Like, okay. Literally, it was like, I don't care. that's your problem now. Like, it was honestly the backstory to that. The guy was such a pain in the ass throughout the entire process. Like, they did an inspection. It was a new condiment. It was a nice condiment. I'm not saying, I'm trying to make it out like some $1 million place. It was nice. Like, we kept it up really nice. And the guy, there was, I forget exactly what it was. It was something with the shower. And it was a ridiculous thing. Like, it was something that, like, you could have fixed with, like, a $4 part at Home Depot. Like, I forget what it was, like a gasket or something. And he's like, I want a $750 credit. And I was like,
whoa.
Bro, there's no way. I'll give you a $7.50 credit, and then you can buy two of them. Like, and he was just obnoxious. It was just such a pain in the ass all the way throughout. If he was nicer, I wouldn't have cared, and I would have just taken the furniture and disposed of it. But because he was such a pain in the ass, I was like, you know what, man? It's yours now. Have fun. And yeah, he's like, well, I want $500. I was like, you know what, man? Honest to God, here's a $1,000. I don't care. Go take yourself out for dinner. Yeah, you got fun. Yeah.
He probably used that money for that part, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I'm sure he did. I hope he bought about 100 of them. I remember just the whole process. And I remember we got to our house and we were moving out of a condo that was 2 bedrooms, 1,000 square feet. We had a 1-year-old daughter at the time. And we moved into the house and we were like, man, we have so much stuff. What are we gonna do with all the stuff in the house? Like, we unpacked it and there was like a couch in the middle of the house. And that was it, like the furniture wise. Like, we had a couch. We left all the bedroom stuff. So like, we had a couch and we had our second bedroom. We had a bed for the second bedroom and like our daughter's crib. And I remember we were just like, we have to go to a furniture store right now because this is ridiculous. So what we ended up doing was we painted the whole house, the interior of it, with like friends of us helping us out. Waited for it to dry, and then I stayed at my in-laws, and the next day, we went to a furniture store in town. We're like, look, we need everything, so what's the best deal you can give us? And because we were buying so much furniture, they're like, we'll give you half off. And we bought literally like 6 rooms worth of stuff in one shot. It was, I've never seen so much furniture get moved at one time. They showed up with like 5 moving vans. And here it comes, and like they would put it together and install it for you and everything. I mean, it was great, but yeah, man, we got to the house and it looked like that scene out of like Fresh Prince, that GIF where like Will Smith's looking empty. Around, it's empty. That's what it looked like, man.
Yeah, we're at this point right now where it's a mess everywhere and we can't find anything that we need, so we're out going to Target to buy what we need, and maybe that's not a smart move to make.
Is this place, not like private, is this place a bigger place than you had previously or like the same size and you just went to a different place?
Actually, it's a little smaller, but the thing is a better location. Like, we're actually closer to like the beach area, and we complain about the size and we walk out, man, it's a nice breeze. Oh, we love this weather. And we were, it's probably like 9 degrees right now. And over here is like a nice 78. So, hey, you know, you kind of get pros and cons there in LA, you know. But, you know, we like it. So it's smaller, but it feels more like home and more of a good location.
The only reason I asked is like, you know, if it's like, I felt like when we moved into our house, other than the furniture aspect, the other part of it was like, you just don't think of things that you need, like little things, you know, so you'd move in and be like, I remember we moved in September. So a couple weeks went by and I'm like, I got to mow the lawn. I got to get out there. And then I walked into the garage and I'm like, I don't own a lawnmower. I can't mow lawn. Like, I was like, I don't.
It's like, oh, wait.
Yeah. I had to go to Home Depot, buy a lawnmower, you know, and then, you know, like, I'm like, I want to get the gardens ready for the spring. And like, I don't own a shovel. Had to go out, get all the gardening equipment. Like, God bless my dad. He came out and he was like, he loves the gardens. He just like started laughing. He's like, let's go to Home Depot. He's like, you need everything. And he's like, how much do you want to spend? I'm like, oh, whatever I have to. Like, I've got to get it. So it was just funny how like, and now I'm in the process of cleaning the third stall of my garage out. And there's so much crap that the kids have accumulated. And my wife, I'm trying to surprise her. She's in Maine running a half marathon this weekend. So I'm trying to surprise her. I've gotten to the point, man, I am just throwing things out. I'm not even asking anyone anymore. Like, on my curb, there's a free sign. There's like $1,000 worth of equipment out there. I don't care anymore. The leaf blower I never use, The snowblower that I haven't used ever because we got it like it's like a third hand, like it's 1,000 years old. A TV that needs to be like a bulb needs to be replaced, but like it, clearly we're not going to do it because it's been 2 years now. Like I'm to the point, like you know what? Somebody else's Christmas. Here you go. Like I don't get it out of my house. And then my wife has all the baby clothes because we have a 6-year-old and 2-year-old. All the baby clothes that she's holding on to for this third child we're not going to have. And she's like, well, I'm going to put it out there. And I told her, I'm like, if you put it out there, Mickey's going to find it. And that's what's, like, that's going to be the end of it. Well, guess what? I just finished like just vacuuming up enough that I think about 8 mice found it. Wow. So I'm just throwing – she's going to come home and be like, where are the baby clothes? I'm like, the landfill. Because the mice got to them and it's over. Yeah, so that'll be an interesting conversation. But regardless, it had to happen, and it's done. That all being said, we filibustered for about 9 minutes.
Yeah.
Thoughts on Justin Jefferson and his new deal?
Yeah, we got things done over the weekend. So did the Vikings and Justin Jefferson. And you know, when you see reports emerge about the Vikings potentially shopping Jefferson at the draft and maybe getting Malik Nabers and. And when the deal got done a few days later, it makes me wonder if it was like maybe somebody from like Jefferson's camp saying, "Hey, you know, they're screwing up right here. They're doing some bad moves behind the scenes. We're not happy." And then when word got out, maybe the franchise is like, "You know what? Okay, we can't mess around here. We were exploring options, and no harm in that. Or there is some, it could be some harm, but you got to explore some options every now and then." And it got out, so you know what? Got to repair the damage there, and you know. And why not lock up probably the best wide receiver in the NFL, maybe the best skill player in the entire NFL, and to get it done, you know, maybe the total numbers didn't, you know, totally, obviously they're massive numbers. They didn't blow me away, $140 million. But then when you saw that guaranteed money, $110 million guaranteed, and you compare it to the rest of the wide receivers, like he is by far above and beyond the other crew there. So, you know, obviously the Tyreek Hill, the Davante Adams, even the new guys like A.J. Brown, Jaylen Waddle getting those contracts, Amon Ross, St. Brown. So, hey, when you got a rookie quarterback and one that you're not even sure about, like obviously you see Caleb Williams, even a Jaden Daniels or a Drake May, you know what? You can make it work with, you know, with some pieces. But a JJ McCarthy, who was a fifth quarterback taken, who still, you know, didn't have a lot of repetitions at Michigan, you want to make sure that he has the best skill players around and Justin Jefferson can make life easier for him. Yeah, we could go into a debate about Jefferson maybe commanding too much attention and you don't spread the ball around. But right now, you need a friendly target for JJ McCarthy, and I think they got it done. Well, the smart move was to get it done. The numbers were the difficult part, but to get Jefferson locked up, forget about it. Like you said, like when you paid that guy $1,000 to leave me alone, sometimes it's worth it.
So, look, I have a Vikings thought, and then we can go forward. I mean, if you're Minnesota, you're paying JJ McCarthy nothing for the next 4 years. And part of the advantage of being able to pay a guy nothing, a quarterback, is being able to pay Justin Jefferson. That's part of the reason. I've seen these people who are these like analytics-driven analysts, I guess I would say, who are always like, well, I wouldn't pay that guy that because the roster building tells you, look, man, that there is no bigger fallacy, than this idea that like, well, you got to build one way. You got to build that's crap. That's garbage. All, for years on end, it was always you can't win with a quarterback on a big money deal. Well, how's that going to Kansas City right now? Like, you sure can when he's Mahomes, you know, and then people go, well, that's the exception. Yeah, that's the point. Like, that's the whole point. Like, yeah, so was Brady, and he won 7 Super Bowls. Like, if you have that level of quarterback, you know, you're going to win a lot. Now, the other side of it is Stafford's making a ton of money with the Rams, they won a Super Bowl. You know, Donald was at a non-traditional big pay position, was making a ton of money. Who cares? I'm a believer, like, if you're the Vikings, J.J. McCarthy has to work. Well, you know what's going to help him work? Justin Jefferson. That's really going to help him, right? And that's going to make life on Addison and Hockenson easier because they're not seeing the same amount of coverage. And Justin Jefferson's so damn great, he's going to beat doubles anyway. So it makes all the sense in the world. I never understand the criticism of like, well, you can't pay that guy. Well, what? Then what the hell is the point of drafting him? Like, what you have now? I will say this: there does come a point. Like, if you're paying the quarterback a ton of money and you're paying an edge rusher a ton of money, then yeah, sure. Then you've got to kind of pick and choose. And we saw that in Kansas City with Tyreek Hill. they got to a point they should look. We love the guy, but we'll trade him for 5 draft picks. And they revamped their whole defense. Fine. You're at that point in time. If McCarthy turns out to be great and Justin Jefferson wants another contract that's really big, then maybe you do move off of him. But for right now, I think it makes all sense in the world for Minnesota. What I wanted to get to based off this, look, we could go over the stuff with CeeDee Lamb. He's going to get paid. Dallas is going to pay him. It's just a matter of when. Dallas is taking forever. They've cost themselves money. The team that I am fascinated with, and I'm going to beat this drum until we get an answer, which could be years from now. So I've got a lot of runway here. The Bengals and Ja'Marr Chase. I know the Cowboys are good for the money. I know that if the Niners want to pay Brandon Ayuk, they'll do it. I don't know that the Bengals are going to or can pay Ja'Marr Chase the amount of money he's going to command. Because after seeing the Jefferson deal, look, I'm not saying that Ja'Marr Chase is Justin Jefferson, but he's pretty damn good. He's in the top 10 for sure. Can make a really good argument he's in the top 5. He's been in the league 3 years. He's been to 3 Pro Bowls. And he's had 3 1,000-yard seasons, 2 of which have been over 1,200 yards. Like, let's say he's eligible now, but he's got 2 years left on his deal, plus they could tag him. Let's say that they don't sign him for 2 more years and this thing drags on. You could be looking easily at $40 million a year and $115, $120 guaranteed. The Bengals do not typically pay out big money, Burrow being the exception. I think that contract, everybody's talking about Lamb and Ayuk, I think it affects Cincinnati more than it affects anybody else.
Yeah, you're right about knowing what the Cowboys and the 49ers do. They do pay their star players. We just saw the 49ers pay Christian McCaffrey $19 million. You know, he's a running back, you know, a good one, but an older one, and playing the position of running back to get $19 million for a 2-year contract. They're going to pay their star players, and, you know, like going to your point of building rosters differently, it does help having Brock Purdy on a rookie contract, but eventually he's going to be due. But yeah, all eyes are on Cincinnati. Like, what do you do? Because, you know, there's maybe a few wide receivers that could say, you know what, Jefferson, I'm as good as that guy. It could be CeeDee Lamb, and it could be definitely Ja'Marr Chase there. And, you know, Chase and Jefferson, they're friends, but they're also good competitors. Went to LSU, you know, coming out of college, you know, you want to be the best wide receiver in the NFL. So, you know, if you're Chase, you're probably thinking, you know what, it has to be something close to that. And maybe they could kind of, you know, make it work by saying, you know what, we'll give you a little more of the total money. Total around, all around, but not the guaranteed money. That's way too high. But like, look at Devontae Adams. I think it was like, you know, what, $140 million, something like that. You know, but he didn't have anything near that for guaranteed money. It was like $67 million, I think, last time I checked. But maybe something like that. But obviously, you know, Chase is smart. He knows that guaranteed money is where it's going to be. Jefferson got $88 million just to sign. So it's tricky, but Matt, maybe they are these different Bengals because they did pay Joe Burrow, and that was the conversation at the time. Will they pay Joe Burrow? Can they get the money out of escrow or whatever? Do they have the money to even pay the guy?
Right.
But they did it once, and maybe you can't do it twice. So that it's going to be an interesting dynamic to see how they do it. You know, that probably means they, you know, T. Higgins is going to be gone after the season. You can't pay both. We're going off of reputation here because, you know, going off your points again, there are different ways to build a roster, and I don't know how the Dolphins are going to do it, but the Dolphins have to pay Tua after paying Jalen Waddle, and Tyreek Hill wants a new contract. You know, I'm not a cap savvy guru, whatever it is you want to call those cap specialists. There's ways to get it done, but it's going to be such a big hill to climb to get Ja'Marr Chase to sign with the Bengals after you saw the money that you know, Jefferson signed. So we'll see, you know, but if you're Chase, you're probably thinking, you know, I want to stay with Joe Burrow. But at the same time, you're probably thinking about getting what you're due.
I think if you're Chase, you've made it pretty damn clear you're not taking a pay cut, or not pay cut. You're not taking anything less than what you deserve, and that's fine. I'm not going to criticize him for that. But if you're gonna sit there, if you're Ja'Marr Chase, and say, listen, I deserve every cent, and I'm not going to take a hometown discount. I'm going to get the absolute most money I can get. That very real possibility exists. That might not come in Cincinnati. Like, there's a world here where Mike Brown and Duke Tobin, their general manager, sit down and say, Ja'Marr, we'll give you $35 million a year, but we're going to guarantee 60 of it because we don't want to put it in escrow. And he's going to tell them to kick rocks if they do that. Like, that's what's going to happen. I remember when Jesse Bates was on the franchise tag there, and they basically offered him a 5-year contract, but like no guaranteed money other than the tag. You know, and you're right. I mean, look at them right now. They have 3 players who are sitting there, not at OTAs, two of which have demanded a trade because they won't pay him. That's where I think this becomes very interesting. The Bengals have to walk this line of, you can't pay everybody, okay, fine. But you've got to pay somebody. And you really don't want to piss off your quarterback. I mean, the last time they had a quarterback who was a true star, no offense to Andy Dalton, I don't think he qualifies, Carson Palmer was that guy. Carson Palmer retired to force his way out of Cincinnati. Like, Carson Palmer literally said to them, I quit. And then after half a season of quitting, they traded him to the Raiders. I'm not saying it's going to go to that level, but I'm just saying the Bengals have a history of just, they don't pay guaranteed money. And Burrow is the huge, overwhelming exception. Is that a beginning of a trend? Maybe. But Trey Hendrickson's sitting there. Trey Hendrickson's been awesome in Cincinnati. They won't pay him. T. Higgins has been excellent in Cincinnati. They won't pay him. So that is, to me, the most interesting part of this entire thing with Justin Jefferson's contract.
Yeah, I wonder how much the Bengals, you know, behind the scenes bring up the whole injury history. You know, I think he had the hip injury maybe a year or two of his career. You know, I'm blanking. And he's missed games every now and then. Second year, and he's had a couple of injuries here and there. And he's not the biggest wide receiver either. Like, he's not Justin Jefferson's size. Yeah, Jefferson had the injury last year. So, you know, maybe if you're chasing, you're saying, well, he got hurt last year and he got paid, so why does it matter? You know, maybe the body of work favors Jefferson. He does have, you know, the size and all that. But, man, when Chase is on the field, he when you talk about finding the next Tyreek Hill, he's probably the closest to it.
Great player.
It's been really hard to achieve that, finding the next Tyreek Hill, and Ja'Marr Chase could probably say. Obviously, you don't want to be compared to somebody else. You want to be in your own name. But Chase right. has that skill set to be dangerous. And with Burrow and Chase on the field at the same time, they're always going to be, you know, I could even say Super Bowl contender. Not playoff contender. I think Super Bowl contender because you have those two guys.
No doubt. Do you think that Brandon Ayuk will get paid in San Francisco?
You know, you asked me a couple weeks ago, and I said yes. And now after the McCaffrey deal, I'm like, okay, so you still got to pay Brock Purdy. You're trying to pay everybody, and you're still having gotten to Brandon Ayuk. And it felt like they know what they have. Obviously, he's not, you know, the versatile weapon that Debo and CMC are, but he's a traditional wide receiver who gets open when it's third down. You got to beat your own man, one-on-one, route running. You're going to go get it and you have reliable hands as well. I still remember that touchdown. Was it week one against the Steelers? Brock Purdy to Ayuk.
Yes.
Great performance. You know, great catch radius. The skill set's all there. He's a proven wide receiver. He might not be CeeDee Lamb, Ja'Marr Chase, Jefferson of the world, but he's maybe the second tier of wide receivers. And maybe that second tier is better than a Deebo Samuel. Maybe it's better than CMC going over 30 years old at a running back. But he's being the last one. Sometimes when you're last one to wait for your turn, you start checking your pockets and your wallet and your bank accounts. Like, oh, crap, we don't have enough for you. And you're a really good player, but we waited too long here. So I wonder what, like, the CMC deal was a little quiet, not as talked about as much. Obviously, he was due for a contract, but it kind of felt like, well, they're not making it work. Do you have some money for us? And they swooped in and took it, and it was a great deal for CMC and the 49ers. But I'm starting to think there could be some issues here. Maybe he's still on the rookie contract. You know, he hasn't got a franchise tag, I'm pretty sure, right? Because it's the fifth year. So it's not like the four-year contract where they're cheaper, but the fifth year is a little more expensive. But it's still enough to make it work for 1 year. And when you're the 49ers, have gone all in for so many years, and you're coming up short after short after short season, might as well just roll it out. Maybe he reports, put the pressure on you to, you know, either pay the fines or show up or whatever.
Right.
But it's starting to look like they're going to just wait it out for the offseason, see what happens then. Franchise tag game or let him walk.
Well, you know, really, when you look at it, like, they kind of have a choice. They either have to pay IU, well, not have to. They can pay IU or they can keep Deebo Samuel. And if you look at Deebo's contract, for those that were unaware, he is signed through this year and next year. However, his cap hits are 28.6 and 24.2. Those aren't crazy for an elite receiver. And they, in 2025, look at, they post-June want him. Okay, they could save 17.5 if they trade him post-June 1. Same math. They trade him pre-June 1, they'd save 9.1, they'd eat $15 million. I don't know if they would eat $15 million to trade him. But here's the rub with Deebo. As much as he is a terrific player, He's made one Pro Bowl in his career. He's had 1 year of over 900 yards receiving. Like, he's a very good player. He's not a great player. He's not. He had 1 year where he was a great player. Now, Ayuk, you look at him and you go, okay, never seen a Pro Bowl. Never been an All-Pro. Actually, second team All-Pro last year. Wasn't first team. But his career arc has gone up and up and up. 748, 826, 1,015, 1,342. And he's younger. Like, if I'm the Niners, I would pay Ayuk and I would walk away from Debo.
Yeah. No, I'm totally with you with that, especially also the injuries that Debo has had. And all these, you know, teams, he's kind of become a very expensive kind of like decoy, and maybe that's a little harsh, but like a lot of teams just focus on stopping him because, you know, that presence does allow you to expand your playbook if you're Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah.
But when, you know, Ayuk is winning his matchups, obviously you drafted Ricky Pearsall, you just paid CMC, you got George Kittle, like somebody has to go. And I'd rather go what you just mentioned. The numbers are going up. There's more upside. He's more durable. He's healthy. And you still have Christian McCaffrey to have that versatile weapon that you really want. Sometimes you got to make a decision. You can't have two of the luxury car, right? You got to pay the bills, and maybe it's going to be Debo Samuel. So that could probably be a viable path for keeping Brandon Ayuk around in San Francisco.
Do you think that CeeDee Lamb is there the first day of training camp for the Cowboys?
I say yes, and you know, this goes back to what we've been saying. The Cowboys take care of their star players, and they'll get it done before training camp. Maybe he'll miss a couple of days, but you know, I think they get it done. The real question is Dak Prescott. I know you wrote about this recently, but I still think they're going to cave and pay Dak. But if you don't pay Dak, you could easily just pay Micah and CeeDee Lamb and just put the pressure on the guy you've already been paying who hasn't stepped up in the playoffs. But CeeDee Lamb, you know, is such a, you know, special player. You know, I still remember that 88-yard touchdown against the Detroit Lions. So, you know, I think they get it done because of the history of the Dallas Cowboys, but it's a lot to try to, you know, I guess budget around with Dak needing a contract and also Michael Parsons on the horizon. You just paid Trevon Diggs not too long ago. So, you know, they're hurting for money there, but you got to keep CeeDee Lamb. And if they pay Lamb before they pay Dak, then you start really thinking about, okay, I think they're going to put the pressure on Dak. They're going to make him wait it out for a year, and we'll see what happens after that. But I don't know if they're going to get to that point.
Yeah, I think it's – listen, I agree with you for the record. I think he'll be there. I think they'll probably pay him, you know, between now and then. But, you know, I don't know why the Cowboys waited so long. I don't know why. You were always going to pay him. So why make it take this long to pay the guy? And now – You're just going to pay him more. I mean, it's not like you're going to pay him less. You're going to pay him more. So I found it to be very odd the way Jerry handled it, although Jerry does things that most guys don't do. So fair enough. I am very curious how this all plays out. In the meantime, other little housekeeping notes around the league before we go. One thing I noticed that caught my attention, Robert Saleh said he has not had contact with Hassan Reddick, who the Jets traded for. He's not been in OTAs. He's not, I'm sure, is wanting a new contract. He's 1 year left in his deal. He was shipped out by the Eagles. Robert Saleh said he has had no contact with Hassan Reddick. I'm going to go out on the limb. So that's not great. Yeah. New defense, new team, nothing.
I guess you would think you would try to talk to the guy, or maybe, you know, the agent before you make the trade and say, you know, we're good here. Is not going to be like disgruntled or not happy being here, and just check it out. But I guess they all got blindsided by it, and obviously they kind of had that swap there with Bryce Huff and Hassan Reddick. And when they got Reddick, I'm like, cool, that's a good landing spot. They have a lot of weapons there. You got Quinnen Williams in the middle. That's a good defense right there. But yeah, he's not going to show up, and you got to pay the guy. You know, you got to pay a lot of their star players too. They have with the Jets. And you know, Aaron Rodgers is not like your typical quarterback contract because he's, you know, kind of one year basis as an older quarterback. But yeah, that's not good news there. I didn't even know about it until you mentioned right there. So yeah, Robert Saleh is wondering where his new edge rusher is at.
Yeah, so he is not at OTAs, and Robert Saleh's exact quote was per ESPN's Rich Cimini, quote, "I'm focused on the guys who are here, and Hassan's a pro," Saleh said. "He's been in this league a while. He's produced it at a very high level for a long time. He's got his routine, and if it makes people feel better, we know where he's at, we know what he's doing, and we know he's working his tail off to get where he needs to get where he needs to get you to have a productive 24 season. And then beyond that, proceeded to say that he's had no contact with him. And obviously Hassan Reddick would like a new deal. He is in the final year of a 3-year, $45 million contract. He has a 14.25 non-guaranteed payment coming to him this season. But yeah, that's interesting. And if you're the Jets, it's really fascinating because he's 29 years old and he is a terrific player. He turns 30 on September 22nd. And this is a guy who is coming off of four straight years of double-digit sacks, 12.5, 11, 16, and 11. But obviously is entering that 30-plus category. This is one of those things with the Jets where you wonder how they're looking at it, because who knows how long Aaron Rodgers is going to be around. Who knows what Aaron Rodgers you're going to get. Mike Williams, Tyron Smith, Morgan Moses, all guys they brought in this offseason, all guys who are ready for the rocking chair by NFL standards. Like, if you're the Jets, are you paying Hassan Reddick on a four-year deal? Are you doing that? Because it seems like this is like, if this doesn't work in the next year or two, it's blow it up time with the Jets. Maybe I'm wrong with that, but it seems like a team that, like, they have those guys all working on one timeline, and then the Garrett Wilsons and Quinton Williams and Sauce Gardner's of the world working on another, and it's kind of hard to make that balance work.
Yeah, and I can't remember the numbers for the Reddick deal to Philadelphia, but it was like a bargain. It was one of the biggest
deals. 3 for $45 million.
There you go. And being a top edge rusher with those numbers that you mentioned, you can understand why Hassan Reddick wants, you know, a bigger deal or new deal just to kind of, you know, compensate for what he did the last few years. And I always kind of wondered why the Eagles soured. Maybe just because, hey, we got a bargain here. We don't want to pay you anymore. Like, you know, we're going to move on. You know, maybe good teams like the Eagles know that very well. It's time to go. But he's been productive. It's kind of like we were talking about Stephon Gilmore last year, where like he can't get a second contract, even though he's playing well with the Colts and the Panthers and the Patriots and obviously the Cowboys. So when you get to the age 30, people kind of get scared and they back off. But I thought, you know, besides the collapse there for the Eagles, I thought Reddick was still a productive edge rusher. And when the Eagles were so quick to get rid of him, maybe they saw this coming. He's going to be like, you know what? He's due for a new contract. He definitely outplayed what he did in Philadelphia. Let that be the Jets' problem. And then, you know, they'll pay somebody who's younger and Bryce Huff, not as proven as Hassan Reddick. But you do feel for the guy because everywhere he's gone, besides those early years in Arizona, you know, he figured out in Carolina, got the next contract with the Eagles, and hasn't had that big time money that, you know, I bet a guy like Za'Darius Smith, I'm sure, is making a lot more money, and, you know, they're probably kind of the same player.
It's fair. It's a fair point. It'll be very interesting to see how that plays out. Very interesting, because if you're the Jets, you got to really make a decision. How far down the line do you want to commit? You know, and I don't know what the answer to that question is. I don't know if Joe Douglas knows the answer, which is why we might be still sitting here at a stalemate. All right. What do you have going on, man? What do you have happening on SI?
Not for the SI, you know, we've been doing these 32 teams in 32 days. And, you know, after we spent the offseason, you covering the AFC, me and the NFC, like, it's kind of been, you know, okay, what's going on with the AFC teams? And, you know, learn about what the Titans are doing with Will Levis. And I think that story is coming out, you know, next week. Going back to the Browns and what happened with Watson and Flacco. So, you know, check out those stories, 32 teams in 32 days, and, you know, just kind of different point of view. If you've been reading Matt's stories for the AFC, I'll give you some, you know, input on the AFC as well. And you've been covering the NFC side there. So we got the bad teams out of the way. And as you keep going to the middle, the teams where you're like, you know what, I'm not sure that team's going to be good, like the Chargers or the Jaguars, and you start writing about it, you get a little bit better feel for that. And obviously we got the NFL season preview for the SI magazine, and that's keeping me busy. And, you know, and hopefully that gets me through some vacation week, and hopefully you're also getting some time off in the summertime.
Yeah, I'm going to take the first half of July off, because after that, my rear end belongs to the NFL Sports Illustrated. So yeah, same as you, man. I've got, you know, 32 teams, 32 days coming down the pipeline. I think the Cardinals went up Thursday. Maybe they went up Friday. I don't. You know what? If you're a Cardinals fan, just look at both days and check it out. Giants are coming up soon. And yeah, man, I just kind of trucking. I'm working on our, last year we did the 50 most influential teams, if I could say that, in NFL history. And that project took about 7 months. Mm. And I'm glad, but SI decided to turn that into a franchise. So now I'm in the throes of doing the second version of that, another top 50 that this one only, I won't say what it is publicly, but it spans the Super Bowl era. And we have a 37 person panel, and we just got in the 37th list. So I got to score all these lists, which I've been kind of doing in real time. And then I got to write up the 50 games, get the panel quotes for the 50 games, reach out to the players and coaches for all 50 games, and then turn over about 25,000 words to John and Mitch and tell them, good luck, guys. Have fun.
Here's $1,000. Take care of it.
Yeah. More than that for him. God bless him. It's fun, though. I love doing it every year. The last year, mm-hmm. I loved it, and I enjoy it this year. It's fun. It's enjoyable, and it gives me some – in a weird way, it gives me sanity in the summer because it's something to do that isn't just like some listicle. I mean, technically it isn't list, but it's a lot more involved. It's an actual like project, so it's fun. But I learned, because last year I didn't start this thing, really start it till like around training camp. That was a mistake. That was not – part of it was because I had pitched it in like April and was told, maybe. And then – it was like, yeah, do it for the website. So we were going to run it like right before the Super Bowl. And I'm like, I got all the time in the world. Like, no problem. You know, whatever. I can do a game a week. And then they up and decided at the last moment, like, we're going to put it in the magazine. We need it in November. And that caused chaos. I was hustling like nobody's business to get that thing done. So this year I was like, you know what? If it's going to the magazine this time, it's going to be done and ready. It's going to be done months in advance. So that's the goal here, is to have that thing done before we even step foot on our tours for training camp.
Hey, that's the good thing about not being a rookie at SI anymore. Both of us, after 1 year, we know what to expect. We know the calendar. We know the schedules. And, like, there's a bunch of stories that I wanted to do. And I'm like, wait, I got to get through all these, the series that we're doing and these previews and, you know, try to get a vacation week going. I'm like, those be stories for maybe September or training camp, and I'll get to them eventually. But you got to pace yourself. So I can only, I remember you being very stressed out during that period for that. But it came out well. I thought it was a terrific series.
Thanks, man. It was worth it because, like you, I mean, you know, look, you grew up reading Sports Illustrated, and it's like, man, I couldn't imagine ever being in the magazine. So at that point, when they told me, they're like, we're going to put it in the magazine, I was like, this is incredible. But then I was like, oh my God, it's like 3 weeks from now. Like, I remember, I won't say which team it was, so I don't want to embarrass them. I called them up. I'm like, look, I need a few numbers here because I got to talk to players from this era. And like, it wasn't like I wasn't mad at them or whatever, but they just kind of dragged their feet on it. And I was like, listen, I need a phone number. And I finally just said, screw it. I can't wait anymore. And I started calling up everybody I knew in the NFL. I was like, you got a number for this guy? And got a hold. I needed two numbers because there were two games from this team. And I got a hold of one guy. Super helpful. And afterwards, I was like, listen, I need a number for one of your teammates because you guys were one of the greatest teams of all time. I got to talk to somebody. Otherwise, your team's not going to be represented properly. And that was like the magic sentence because he was like, we got to be represented. He gave me 8 phone numbers. I was like, I don't even need, what am I going to do with all this? I mean, of course, I was thankful I kept them all. But it was, this is going to be easier now because now I can just, you know, let's see. I don't know. Like in the last one, I talked to Dick Vermeil for the 99 Rams. If something happens with the Rams or the Eagles in the 80s on this list, I can just be, hey, Dick, what's going on? Can I get a quote for this? Like, I don't have to go through the teams. It's great. So, in any event, we're out of here for right now. This has been the MMQB podcast. Please subscribe if you haven't already. Leave a rating, a 5-star rating, and a review. And we will be back very soon. But until then, take care, everybody. Have a great day.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Medical Mutual wants to remind you it's almost time for Medicare's annual enrollment period. As a trusted health insurer for more than 90 years, Medical Mutual is here to help you find better Medicare benefits. Be confident you're getting the most from your Medicare Advantage plan. Schedule your free Medicare plan review today at medmutual.com/review. Medical Mutual, Ohio's hometown Medicare insurer.